So when you have those situations of bitterness and anger and temptation and betrayal, did you fight back? Did you give in? Are you carting around a whole suitcase load full of negative energy that you're spreading to everybody that you see?
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincan and Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Good morning. Welcome to the Van Buren United Methodist Church.
Well, has anything bad ever happened to you? That goes without saying, right? Even to the preacher, sometimes things happen. And you wonder, how can anything good possibly come out of that bad situation, right? Well, we're going to talk about Joseph. Not Joseph of Mary, but Joseph of the coat of many colors. You remember that young man? Well, he had a lot of difficulty in his life, one of which was getting sold into slavery by his 10 other older brothers. He was not well favored by those 10 older brothers, but things turn out a lot differently than the way they started. So keep that thought in mind. Whatever bad has happened to you, how has it turned out? Has it turned out to be good in the long run? Because God wants us to receive his blessing. He wants good to come to us. And I think probably if we think about our lives, good has happened out of the bad things that have occurred.
Today's scripture lesson comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 37, verses 1 through 11. Jacob continued to live in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived. This is the account of Jacob and his descendants. Joseph was a 17-year-old young man. He took care of the flocks with his sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. Joseph told his father about the bad things his brothers were doing. Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons because Joseph had been born in Israel's old age. So he made Joseph a special robe with long sleeves. Joseph's brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them. They hated Joseph and couldn't speak to him on friendly terms. Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Please listen to the dream I had. We were tying grain into bundles out in the field, and suddenly mine stood up. It remained standing while your bundles gathered around my bundle and bowed down to it." Then his brothers asked him, "Are you going to be our king or rule us?" They hated him even more for his dreams and his words. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream. I saw the sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowing down to me." When he told his father and his brothers criticized him by asking, "What's this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers come and bow down in front of you?" So his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept thinking about these things.
Holly shared with you out of the chapter 37, the early story of Joseph and his beginning with his brothers, which sort of tells us a little of the history and the struggle in that family. But we hear now of the story where Joseph is reunited with his brothers and how things turn out much differently. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. And he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into slavery. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, but God sent me here before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and the lord of all his house and a ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay, for you shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here.' Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept on Joseph's neck. And he kissed all of his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. When the report was heard in the Pharaoh's house, 'Joseph's brothers have come,' Pharaoh and his servants were pleased. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Say to your brothers, do this, load your animals and go back to the land of Canaan and take your father and your households and come to me so that I may give you the best of the land of Egypt and you may enjoy the fat of the land. You are further charged to say, do this, take wagons from the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives and bring your father and come. Give no thought to your possessions, for the best of all of the land of Egypt is yours.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Well, that little fellow with a coat of many colors was a nice young man. He got a movie named after him. He got a play named after him, and he's quite famous for that little coat. But the rest of his life really has a lot more to tell us about him. For you see, he was the son of Jacob and Rachel. Who was, by the way, Jacob was that young man who stole somebody else's blessing, if you recall correctly, from a few weeks ago. He was the favorite and the youngest of Jacob's 11 sons. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever seen what happens in a family when you have a favorite? Things usually get a little out of hand, do they not? Usually get a little out of hand. And that's kind of what happened in the story. Joseph gets sold off into slavery after the brothers debated about how they could get rid of him. You know, they thought about killing him, but one of them said, no, that's way too harsh. We can't do that. We better not do that. Although they took part of his coat back to father and kind of left dad with the idea that maybe he had been killed by a ransom lone animal out in the woods. All dad knew was is that Joseph was gone. But yet, despite being sold off into slavery over a great amount of jealousy and envy, he manages to survive because of his strong knowledge and understanding of God and the presence of God in his life. Pretty important statement. Joseph was pretty cocky in his younger years. Now, I don't know how about you, but when I hear that story of early, you know, to think that you're having dreams and you tell your brothers, I had a dream last night and my stalk of hay stood up taller than yours and yours bowed down to me. I don't know too many brothers and sisters who'd be real thrilled about that. I don't imagine. And even to think that he tells you that the sun and the moon and the stars pay him homage. You're beginning to be a little suspect of this young man, I suspect. Who does he think he is? I mean, he came out of the same stock as we are. He might be the youngest, but after all, really? But Joseph has another spirit. He is very self-assured. He's very sure of himself, and he's very sure of his relationship with God. How many of us are that sure of our relationship with God? How many of us are that confident and self-assured in our relationship with God? You see, Joseph endured a significant amount of pain. He's a slave, but even in the midst of being thrown in a pit, living through slavery, he still has an understanding of God that allows him to survive. Now, a lot of us would say, oh, woe is me, and this isn't going to turn out well, and we'd be whining and bellyaching and complaining and carrying on. What a terrible thing this is. What a terrible thing God's done to us. What a terrible thing the way my life's turned out. Isn't this just horrid? But yet, Joseph, in spite of all those things, still manages to maintain that assurance, that understanding, that rock bed the understanding that God is with him, no matter what. He even is liked and respected. He's liked by the Pharaoh. He's liked by the temple people. He's liked by all the people that he gets to know. Nobody dislikes him. He's kind of the king of the mountain. No, he wasn't too high on the mountain when he was with his brothers, but he's become a rock star here in this place in Egypt. He is hot potatoes, if you will. So let me ask you a question for a minute. We've all encountered some bad stuff. I asked you that question earlier. How do you do with the bitterness of life? You let it get the best of you? How do you do when people betray you, turn their back on you, or do something to spite you? Have you had to deal with the desertion of your family? And these are all things that Joseph encountered. Had to deal with bitterness. Those brothers didn't care much for him. They betrayed him. They deserted him. How have you dealt with being deserted from family? What's your greatest temptation, and how do you deal with temptation in your life? Because it's out there. You know, it doesn't get removed from us. We have to figure out ways to deal with it. Have you ever had to deal with punishment for doing the right thing? You did what you thought was right, and yet you suffered difficulty because of that. Those are all things that Joseph endured, and yet, let me repeat, he still was assured and maintained that God was going to walk with him and get him out of that spot, and that God was with him. So when you have those situations of bitterness and anger and temptation and betrayal, did you fight back? Did you give in? Are you carting around a whole suitcase load full of negative energy that you're spreading to everybody that you see? Joseph takes every one of the setbacks that he endures and turns it into a step forward. What would happen in our life if we did that? Instead of carrying out the negative and finding a way to look at this in a positive way. Sometimes when we're in the midst of it, we can't see the positive. But as we go down the road, we can see it eventually. We can experience it. But Joseph takes all those things and turns them into a step forward. He doesn't spend time asking, why me? Anybody ever ask yourself that? Why me? Why do I have to go through this terrible calamity? His approach was, what shall I do now? Why not me? You ever heard Bill Gaither, when he's on video periodically, you'll hear him say, why not? And it's that same idea. Why not us? Why not me? If I believe that God is going to deal with this situation, God is with me, and God is going to take care of me, then why not me? If I have an understanding, a grounded foundation that God is going to be in the midst of this, is in the midst of it, and he's going to take care of me, then why not? Why not? You know, we've got a lot going on out there in the world. You know, we saw yesterday, I'm getting kind of tired of looking at the news, frankly. I don't know about you, but I'm getting tired of seeing neo-Nazis and whatever. You know what they are. You've heard it all. If something good can come out of that, that would be wonderful. And I hope it does. At the very level, at the very bottom level, I hope, as I said in my prayer, that we might learn to be able, instead of protesting, to be able to sit down at the table, look at one another as each being God's creation. Created as God imagined us and fashioned us after his will, and that we could sit down at the table and talk in a peaceable way and be able to hear one another. We might not come away from the table still agreeing, but we might be able to at least hear one another and see that, yes, we might be a different color. We might look a little differently. We might behave a little differently, but we're all part of God's creation. We need to be able to hear. That's what our country's founded on, the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, the freedom of all the things. Can we not do that and sit down and talk rather than throwing battery arms at one another and throwing pepper spray at one another and driving cars down the middle of the street in Charlottesville? We don't need to live that way. That's not how God designed us. So can something good come out of this? I hope so. So Joseph made people aware, and we need to do the same, that God is, has been, and will be with us wherever we go. Believe that? You believe that? You see, God is always in charge. We might think we are sometimes, but God ultimately is the one in charge. And God's plans for our lives are not subject to our actions or the actions of anybody else. You see, when others do things foolish and evil to us, it leaves them looking pretty bad. When I was probably a teenager, I don't know. You know, I always struggle when I tell a story because I don't know who I've told this story to. I'm going to tell it anyway. My grandmother worked in the drugstore. And there was another gal in the class that I went to school with whose name happened to be Cindy, although my name's not really Cindy, it's Lucinda, but I go by Cindy on a regular basis. And there were actually three of us in school, so sometimes it got really confusing at times. But anyway, Grandma would work in the drugstore. When Grandma worked in the drugstore was her territory. So if you came into the drugstore as a teenager or as a youngster and you misbehaved, you were going to deal with Esther. And Esther didn't put up with a lot in the drugstore when she was minding the store because a lot of times she was there by herself and she had to mind the cash register and the counter where the Cokes and whatever were served and the whole store. So she had to keep a pretty close eye on the whole store by herself. And this one young lady in particular who was named Cindy was frequently in there and she would frequently cause trouble. For one reason or another, she ran around with a different crowd, and so you just picture the routine. Well, she would invariably, because she'd go into the store and get in trouble, she'd get in trouble with guess who? Esther. And then, when she would come back to school, guess who got the outfall of that one? Yours truly. And I would tell Grandma, why, oh, why do you pick on her? Why, oh, why do you bother her? Because every time you pester her and you discipline her, I have to take the outcall of it. And I'm getting tired of it. I mean, every time she'd come in and I'd have to do this battle. Your grandmother, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, seriously. So finally, one day I thought, I've had just about enough of this. It was a home ec class one day, and she started in. And I just looked at her and I said, look, this is it. We're done with this. If you go in that store and you get in trouble, that's your fault, not mine. You know, if you get in trouble with grandma, that's your business. But don't you be bringing it back to the drugstore for me. Don't be bringing it back to me because you got in the doghouse at the drugstore. I'm not the problem. You are. So if you don't want to get in trouble with Esther, you best be minding your own business when you go to the drugstore, because I'm getting tired of being the short end of the stick. So sometimes when we do stuff that's foolish, we end up being in trouble, don't we? Joseph tells his brothers over in chapter 45, he remembers these words, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me here before you to preserve me. God already had something in mind for Joseph before those brothers conspired to send him into slavery. God already was working. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. Do you believe that God has sent you here for just this time? What can we do? First of all, we can acknowledge, and more than acknowledge, we can believe and we can live in the understanding that God is with us. We hear that at Christmas time. God is with us. God is with us. Emmanuel. Amen. But do we really believe that? Do we really believe that God is with us? Do we have that grounded sense that God is with us? What matters not is not the circumstance or situations, but rather our response to those circumstances and situations. How do we respond to difficulties in life? You know, we're going to get mad. That's, you know, we have the right to be angry, sad, glad, and happy in life. Those are four natural emotions. We have a right to all of those. The question is, how long do we stay there, and do we mire ourselves down in some of those that eventually create that negative energy I was talking about? Or do we move forward and do something about the situation we're in? Believing as well that God is in the midst of it. What can we do? We can believe that with any situation, with God's help, it can be used for good, even though it may have been intended for evil. We may not understand what God's doing at the moment. We learn from the story of Joseph how God forgives us and showers us with his goodness. Even those who are evil, even those who are foolish, even when we have sinned against us, God still wants to offer those things to the evil and to the foolish as well as to those who are good. I know that's hard to hear. Those same blessings were there for those 10 brothers who sent him off into slavery. We see that at the very end. He could have said, I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want to have anything to do with you. But he comes to them and says, I'm your brother. I still love you. Go get my dad. Go get my brothers. Go get my brother's family and bring them here. And we're going to enfold you into the Egypt world. We're going to take care of you. He didn't have to do that, but that's what God does for us. God says, here I am. You didn't ask for it. You didn't intend to ask for it, but it's yours. All we have to be willing to do is receive it. Ask for forgiveness and receive it as it is. And God uses us, even when we've done evil, that he might do good within us as well. We may be struggling. We may be having difficulty with what's happening in our lives. But may we have faith that God is walking with us. God is near us, and he will some way use this situation to do good in our lives at some point in the near future. Amen.
Jesus, we just want.
God came in the door with you. God has been with you in the midst of this service. God will go with you outside this door, and he will be with you each and every day. May you know his presence, and may you live in his presence and walk with him each and every day. And he will be with you in the good, the bad, and the unfortunate of life each and every day. Go in peace, my friends. Amen.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
We want to thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren, or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org.
Elect from every nation, yet one for all the earth. Her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name.
You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Finn Cannon Ford of Hartford City.